You're listening to the We Are Libertarians Podcast Network. Find all of our shows at WeAreLibertarians.com.
Welcome to We Are Libertarians. Thanks so much for joining us. Today we are going to talk about the Twitter memos that Matt Taibbi put out and what happened with the Hunter Biden story. We're going to talk a little bit about Kanye West, and I guess we'll talk about Elon Musk, who is quickly becoming an annoying topic. So stay tuned right here on We Are Libertarians. All right, thanks so much for joining us. We are glad to have you here. It is great to be with you today. With me is, as always, is Harry Price. Harry, how are you?
Going good, doing good.
Well, it's nice to be back in the studio for a second time.
Yeah, good to be back here. It's one thing that's really weird with coming here at the studio is that I show up on time and you show up late, which is the reverse of when I would go down to your studio and I would be there on time and be locked outside.
Because I was late to my own house. I'm chronically late. I apologize for being the way that I am. But that's about as good as it's going to get. So we don't have the video up yet. Harry is going to get some internet for us this month. You have to get the service and then I will pay you.
No. Service cost. I have setup costs, okay?
All right. Well, then let me know what the setup costs are.
Okay.
Right. But I'm not just going to give you money. I would rather have an invoice.
All right, I can invoice you.
But I'm not going, and I want to see detailed billing because I don't want you ripping me off.
That's fine. I can give you detailed billing. Now, I'm also going to need an attendant that you have to pay for by hour to stay here for installation date.
You know what? Everybody start wrapping the equipment up. This has become untenable. We can't do this. But eventually, Harry will honor the listeners and do the right thing and get internet for us so we can stream this live here on Saturdays when we are recording. But I was late because I was getting – so we've got on the walls here, we've got a couple flags, we've got a Weird Libertarians banner, and mostly we have on – and then like a shelf with all the stuff that people have sent to us over the 10 years of Weird Libertarians. Like there's Maya's mask with the V for Vendetta mask. There's the Dear Leader crown that I got at one of my birthdays, a cat that Carly Hogan made for me. Got the Super Male Vitality, a nice Canada stress ball, a hacky sack, actually, that somebody gave us. And then mostly Joshua Sexton stuff that he has given to us on the walls. And I was late collecting. I had to go back and get the votive candles that he made for all of us that Squish loves to play with. Because she's on her own toy, she thinks, so it's very cool. And whoever took the Ron Paul votive candle and turned it upside down, hilarious. Very funny.
Who gave us the Howard the Duck video?
The Howard the Duck video came from Harry, so I don't know the significance of that.
It's Howard the Duck on VHS, so it's awesome.
But it doesn't have any significance to the podcast, does it?
It's low-key Wall loves Howard the Duck. And then I've got my... I've got my Remington 40 S&Ws there, which are really good bullets there.
There's also the Stanley file that somebody sent me when I was in Facebook jail.
Nice. Got Satana there, you know. Mm-hmm. Let's see. More low-key wall. Pinkie Pie. Some got some pony.
Now, explain the low-key wall is for those who haven't heard of it.
Low-key wall, the soon-to-be number 3 best show on the network.
They're challenging Boss Hogg.
Yeah, we're coming for Boss Hogg. And it's the... It's basically Wall's, you know, a pop culture show. It's our we talk more about what is going on in like the news on the aspect of TV shows, stuff like that. It's just more of just trying to give a like it's a good vent release to just talk about what else is going on out there. No, we're not doing culture war talk. I know some members of the Low Key Wall crew wants to. No, actually they don't. They actually kind of like the press release of not doing that. And we just talk about what we love and enjoy.
You don't let Reinhold talk about how much he enjoys how much wokeness there is in culture today, and how he wishes there were more. And
oh yeah, we usually like when he does that, we decide to. His internet usually fails when that happens.
Shut his mic off. Also, here is Reinhold. Hi, Reinhold.
Hello, and I have another outlet for that coming, so that's going to be fine. I don't need that for on here or anything else.
I can't wait to hear that in 2032.
I put my first episode out 13 years ago, so you just have to wait.
Reinhold is, he and I share this tendency. it's a not delayed gratification, but delayed content creation, where you overthink it for sometimes many years.
Well, yeah, and the thing is, too, is it's that you get this idea, oh, I want to talk about this, and you start writing it down and doing research on it, and then something else happens. You're like, oh, I get this great idea. Let's do this.
Yeah.
So I have a bit of the ADHD mind going. And
Wondery posted a meme about starting another podcast, and then your friends are amazed that you have started so many podcasts, but they meant listening to them, not starting them, which listen for my new podcasts coming out in 2024. All right. Also here is Paul Copeland. How are you?
I'm doing great, Chris. Glad to be here.
Thanks. Enough words.
Thank you. All right. Also here is Vincent. Do you want me to use your last name?
It's fine. Vincent's fine.
Vincent. Okay.
Yeah. All right. That's not even my real name anyway, so it's fine.
Shh, quiet.
What is your real name?
You're ruining the lore.
Why would I tell you that?
Your real name is the name that you choose.
Okay.
Okay.
Who's to say the government gets to dictate what your name is? You have a choice in it.
You know what we need to do? We need to take Reinhold and, like Clockwork Orange, make him watch Matt Walsh's documentary.
Oh, God. I can't sit through that documentary. We've been forcing him to watch that documentary. God, it's so trash.
Have you seen it?
The clips that I've seen. I can't force myself to watch it.
Right. I'm just teasing. Reinhold is not you're not a progressive, but you're definitely liberal. So we tease you as our resident.
In the classical sense of the word.
Right. Once Ryan Lindsay left, you became the most leftist person on the
group. It was nice having him on the network because I had some kind of deflection for all that. All the people who want to call everybody who they disagree with leftist, it was nice to have somebody go, hey, over here.
Right. No. You think I'm bad. Look at Ryan.
And also, like, just knowing you, it's like, hey, somebody I can attack from the other side.
Right. But we give Reinhold a hard time because he has so many derangement syndromes.
What's funny is if you had listened to my original Loki Wall appearances, Loki Wall 1 and 3 and 4 and whatever, you would not have considered me leftist on them. Because I was talking about Russian conspiracy stuff and it was in Ukraine and everything else.
Yeah.
And not Loki Wall, just talking about media, social media and pop culture stuff and not caring about all this other terrible, awful things.
And you don't really care about politics, do you, Vincent?
Not at all.
Yeah. Which is, why are you here?
Because I was asked to be here. And it gives a different perspective of somebody who doesn't care about politics.
I do like
watching this fire burn around me.
Vincent is very funny, so you're contributing by being funny. You made me laugh last episode.
Well, yeah, he's here. He's here to make the laugh, and he needs more mic training, so he needs more hours.
This is not training hour. That's Loki Wall.
Loki Wall is going to be the flagship show. So we need to make sure that we get all the kinks knocked out here when Loki
is the main show.
This is podcast hospice, okay?
It was really for like last year, but 2021 was podcast hospice here on the Chris Spangle Show. This year, I've actually been more productive and consistent than I've ever been. It's just been a different type of show, but
yeah.
Well, we mean productive, persistent than you ever been. You know, I almost got you like going like straight like for a month. You know.
What?
You haven't been that consistent this
past year. Yes, I have. I have put out at least one episode per week, which we've never done in We Are Libertarians history.
Whoa!
And in the past week, this will be the fourth episode that I'll post in the feed, and there's one Monday too.
And I'm gonna say, like, he's actually here in December. Mm-hmm. Unheard of.
Yes.
Okay, that is true. I'll give him that. The other part's fake news, but this, yeah, him continuing going on this deep into December, it is shocking. Yeah.
So, but then after this,
what time you say you have one on Monday? Because I hope it's not like when we stream on Monday at 9 o'clock. I always do for Loki Wall.
I have moved my lives off of Mondays.
Fake love.
But if you choose to go live on a different day, you should check with me.
All right, we're gonna do real live shows Mondays and Fridays. So keep your fakeness off those days.
Look,
you do that.
They don't. Other than Christy Avery and Ron Milford, they don't know that it's fake.
Yeah, they do.
No, they don't.
Yes, they do.
No,
they all know.
It's not meant. You seem to think that live streams have to be interactive.
That's half the fun of most of the live stuff. Now, if you are going for that older boomer that's used to just sitting there watching TV and yelling at it, yeah, it doesn't have to be interactive. But if you want that key market demo, they want the interactivity.
I do agree with you. I do agree with you on that.
Yeah, so.
But the reality is I can't do live streams at 9 p.m. I'm too old.
You are old. But
I'm on low-key wall, and I'm, you know, a slight tad bit older than you.
Yeah, but you are like a night creature. You're a tech guy, so you're up.
I can't do it because I'm too old. But you don't count, even though you're older than me.
He's a nerd, so his nerdness trumps his oldness. Wow. Nerds like to stay up late and live stream. That's what you all do.
Should we just keep calling Reinhold Skips now?
I do these, like, I don't do 8 hour sleeping. I do 4 hours up, 4 hours. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's the way naturally our bodies are supposed to work.
Yeah, see? He's been doing that since the late 1600s, okay?
Vampiric. All right, let's get into the actual show. You know, I timed it the other day. I recorded an episode with somebody, and I was into the topic by second 45.
Okay.
Which is a far cry from the old days of We Are Libertarians, where we would get into the subject at minute 45.
If ever.
But here on these wall episodes, there's an extra 20 minutes that you'll hear. We just turned on the mics and chit-chatted. They talked about all kinds of stuff I didn't quite understand. We talked about how great the show Wednesday is. We'll keep doing that. But you can check that out if you join our Patreon. And we just thank everybody who is a Patreon member, including Reinhold. Thanks so much. And we want to thank our $100 a month patrons. You guys are very special. You are the ones that are the backbone of the We Are Libertarians podcast network and the Chris Spangle Show. Thank you to Reinhold, Christy Avery, Jason Doolittle, Vince Peichel, Matthew Durbin, Lars Nordskog, and Jake Edel. And we also want to remind you, make sure you check out Iconic Insurance in the show notes. This episode is brought to you by Iconic Insurance. All right, so Elon Musk has purchased Twitter. Do you all hear that? You hear this?
Twitter? What's
right?
What's that?
What
you is
can't
Twitter?
Get away from is Elon it, Musk. Let's
it,
start with
it.
Is Elon Musk becoming the new Donald Trump, where everybody has a reaction to other people's reactions? He breathes, and somebody goes, ah! And then somebody goes, ah! At their, ah!
Well, con men like to, you know, hang, you know, act about the same.
Ooh, so you're calling them a con man. Are you anti Elon Musk fanboy, or are you anti Elon Musk, or are you pro Elon Musk?
I'm just calling it what it is and what I see. Okay.
All right. Let's see. Let's hear.
No, see, like I'm a long time Elon Musk hater and stuff like that because like a lot of stuff he does is like it's all fake. His money is okay. All right. It's kind of
he did steal most of his money from taxpayers.
He did most money as taxpayers. PayPal is profitable after they kicked him out, okay? Tesla produced and was doing stuff and got through the DOT regulations. Tesla just bought, Musk just bought them after that. They're already making cars. They're already doing stuff, all right? Just like SpaceX. They're already doing stuff. He just kind of came over, bought them, and put money.
He didn't start them?
He didn't start Tesla. He didn't start PayPal. He just jumped onto PayPal afterwards.
He didn't start Tesla and SpaceX?
No. Somebody else did, and he's like, I'm also a founder. And then when they kicked the founders out, they sued him.
Really? Go ahead, Reinhold.
Even PayPal, it was like he founded PayPal. No, he didn't. He founded another company that was trying to do some similar thing, and then
Peter Thiel.
Peter Thiel kind of merged with them. They bought it. You bought them out, and they worked together for a while, and then they had a splitting and gone the other way. So
who started Tesla and SpaceX?
I forget the guy's name, the people's names that did
that. Talk right into the mic.
But these people, like the Tesla Roadster was created and out before Musk was on the scene. They went through all the R&D and gone through the DOT regulations to get their car on the road, and then Tesla go like, oh, cool, mine. You know, the idea like, oh, he made electric cars cool. No, he didn't.
All right, well, I'm going to pee real quick, but you guys keep going and talking about Elon Musk, and I'll keep listening and enjoy this.
A great example is, if you want a deep dive into it, there's a YouTuber that did a whole video. It's like 40 minutes long, going over the history of Elon Musk and the things that he's done up to the point before all this Twitter, and he became like a socialite, about all the companies that he said he founded and paid into, and he talks about the lawsuits of him, of the founders suing him after he being kicked from Tesla and all this other stuff.
Yeah. Yeah.
There's also another YouTuber out there that has gone through and broken down all of the the ways that all of, like, the Hyperloop and other projects that Musk has championed basically won't return any investment, are impossible, or have critical flaws in their design that will end up killing people if implemented. And that's probably a good hour or two of content packaged in about 4 hours of repetition. But
and did you hear? Did you
leave
hear the latest?
It alone.
Have you heard the latest about the implants? So he's been doing implants in monkeys, and he's wanting to move that into human trials in 6 months
for the Neuralink.
However, 98% of the monkeys who get the implant die.
So.
Oh, yeah. Those are good.
Yeah. I've not looked into that because I, as a
base. I'm back. So, good point, Paul. Now, right, the Neuralink thing
on the tick. Okay.
Is, the thing about Neuralink is, this is the mark of the beast shit. Why are all the conservatives who are Musk fanboys going along with Neuralink? All right, great point. All right, Paul, continue.
Okay. So, I've not looked into the Neuralink stuff. As a baseline, you should distrust headlines when it comes to science reporting and actually look at the data. I have no idea whether...
I trust my gut. I go with my gut.
Okay.
And TikTok videos.
Well, yeah, that's... Oh, boy.
When it comes to science, I trust podcasters and TikToks.
Oh, so you must be really love the time travelers on TikTok, then.
But...
Let me look that up while Paul's talking.
All right. Anyways... As a baseline, I don't know whether or not that is accurate, whether or not is the Neuralink killing the test subjects, or if they are culling their test subjects at different stages.
Or they committed suicide because they turned on low-key wall.
That's a vast improvement in day-to-day life. I don't see why that would cause... well, first of all, why are you giving the macaques pistols?
Thanks for bearing our podcast on your other show. I love it.
It's a self-promote. Thank you. It's a cross-promotion. Yeah,
we just need to get that t-shirt like, well, how libertarian are you? Well, I'm willing to give pistols to macaques.
Macaques are armed.
Yeah.
By the way, I got the count of Spangle interrupting people when he told us not to talk to seven already. So
cool, yeah, thank you.
We'll keep that.
All right, your mic's off. I don't even know who you are. You haven't earned the right to shit on me.
That's
Harry has earned the right. Harry is the longest serving co-host that has not rage quit yet.
We'll find out how quickly you pay that invoice.
First of the month. And if it's not in by the first of the month, then that month doesn't count.
That's right. That's right.
Yeah,
Reinhold is picking the cat hair off of it.
From the pre-show chatter, like, oh, you don't ever mute somebody else, and you don't ever walk out on a show, but apparently fistfights are okay for one.
Well, that's the beauty of this show, is, like, all the moments from all the pet. You know, a lot of these new listeners don't understand the beauty and the insanity of the pre-2017, 2018, I'd say. That show was just, you know, heroin overdoses and fistfights and strippers, and it's not very Christian, to be honest, so we...
I can't. Have you ever read the Bible?
Yes. Harry and I.
In the Bible.
Harry and I really all cleaned it up. Harry and I really cleaned it up after 2018.
Yeah. Yeah.
Maybe too much.
Yeah. I don't think it's too much. I think what we did was make sure the episodes and shows are more evergreen, so they're okay to look back at.
Yeah. Well, and just, you know, being respectful of people's time.
Yeah.
Less. Yeah. Moronics.
We're about 60% with you there respecting other people's time, because you still can't show up on time. But anyway, so back to you.
Yeah, like 20 minutes in, we've already a terrible person.
Gone off track.
Yeah, yeah, we have. All right, so
Elon Musk and the boring company. All right. Oh, I could bore tunnels so much faster. This stupid Las Vegas tunnel thing, like, oh, he barely has made it fast. He's not even faster than walking between the two places that for his stupid loop tunnel thing in the ground, where there's just Tesla cars on not even auto drive mode. They have to have a driver in there, and they're just Teslas driving underground. And people are like, oh, this man's a genius. He just revolutionized driving cars
but
underground.
He's going to save free speech.
No, he's not.
I just love the idea, like, oh, the Bohr company, we're going to build tunnels underground and then take a vehicle through the tunnels. Oh, you mean a subway?
Yeah, subway.
You mean a subway that works?
Yeah. If we would have built the subway tunnel, it would have been lot more economical and feasible than
he did make a mass market firearm that shoots fire.
Yes.
Okay, now that was good. That's good. I'll go with that.
Somebody on my Facebook feed has one, and I got so jealous.
God, I want one so bad.
Okay, so I want to, yeah, because here's my thing with Musk. I didn't know any of what you guys were talking about. I didn't know any of that because I didn't really know him until he started buying Twitter. I had seen him on 60 Minutes once, and I thought he had started all this stuff and was like a genius. But when he said, I'm going to save free speech and I'm going to do this for I'm like, I'm guessing the problem of running Twitter is a lot more complex than I'm just going to let everybody back on and they can do whatever they want, or else you end up with Gab because people leave and they don't want to be a part of it. But then when he was asked by Kim.com if Alex Jones would be back on, he made up that his child died in his arms, according to the ex-wife. She said he lied. That he wasn't going to have them back on. And I was like, okay, well, this is not a person that is convinced of the principles of free speech. He's going to do whatever he wants to do. And we've seen that at Tesla, where he has, like, fired people who wrote blogs about him that he didn't like.
Yep.
And, you know, he just kicked Kanye West off, which who really wants to hear what Kanye has to say except for a few people who every time Kanye says, I love Hitler, they bring up Ben Shapiro tweets and talk about how bad he is. That's a signal that this person's an anti-Semite.
Yeah, big glaring red flag.
But, yeah, I what do you all make of he is going to save free speech?
Well, the problem with his idea of what free speech is anything I don't care about should be able to be talked about, but anything that bothers me personally, we got to get rid of it.
Yeah.
So that doesn't sound.
That's the same impulse as the people that covered up the Hunter Biden story for no reason. It's just on your team, and so you're on their side as opposed to his side, right?
Correct. Yeah. Right. Right now, he's just giving free speech to the other side. You just watch the winds being blown. Like, okay, team. You know, blue is not as popular right now, and it's technically a rebel to be team red, so I'm going to support team red, you know, to take their money. That's all that is. That's all I see is, like, team red's got some money, they're the rebels, I'll take their money now.
Candace Owens.
Yeah.
It's ridiculous. Really look at it for the longest time, it was the whole, the blue side, it was like, oh, Elon Musk's amazing, he's going to save technology, he's the genius of geniuses, and then he's like, I say something you don't like, and then they're like, what? He's not a genius. He's an asshole.
He's going to save the Earth from global warming.
I know. Oh, he's going to make these stupid-ass roof panels that have solar energy, and they just recharge it. It's so stupid as a stupid.
I did not realize how much you hate Elon Musk.
God.
Well, you don't. No, we've had discussions years ago about he does not like Elon Musk at all.
Elon's terrible.
So yeah.
Awesome. I like Elon more than he does.
Really?
Yes.
And you have Elon derangement syndrome.
That's what I've been told.
Well, and given his past track record, can we not be certain that Elon is making a ploy to become a founding father? And
of what?
Because he's so focused on free speech, he's obviously making a ploy to have himself put up on Rushmore. He's going to buy out the United States and kick the other founding fathers out.
This is why I interrupt him, Vincent.
But it sounds like something you would do.
It's definitely something you would do.
I'm just surprised at how much you guys hate him.
Oh, you don't understand. It's
if you're a tech, you guys are a tech person. You're more into the tech industry than I am.
For me, it's more just general culture stuff of people bandwagon on things that they agree on at the point in time. Right. Elon Musk at that time was. He was the liberal leftist that's going to save everybody and bring everybody together in some way, shape, and form. Mm-hmm. And then the moment they said something they didn't agree with, he's the devil. And him buying Twitter is the worst thing that's ever happened, ever.
Yep. Yeah, which is exactly what happened.
Exactly.
It's not a person who has flaws and does good things and bad things. I'm leaving Twitter. We're going to stop advertising. We're going to complete, you know, that's the stuff that I think drives the middle of the country crazy when the bandwagoning is exactly what you
the companies who are taking their advertising off Twitter, there's reasons there behind that are very valid. They
maybe
don't trust his moderating tactics. That's going to happen. They're scared about it. They don't want their name attached to anything that's going to be on their feed, somebody's feed, you know, have advertisement for their stuff. The next line is anti-Semitic stuff. Yeah, they don't want to see
right,
that.
Right, but,
yeah, but
now we have, you know, there's studies by very partial institutes showing like a 200% increase in anti-black sentiment, a rise in bigoted statements, right? That stuff was happening before, too. What I have a problem with is when somebody, you hear your fidgety, with the mic stand, which is why we really need to use a different mic stand, because all I can hear is fidgeting. But when you do it the day he buys Twitter, and within the first week, everybody just immediately jumped off.
No, remember the advertisers. He had a meeting with the advertisers, and the advertisers came out of that meeting saying, we don't know what's going on here, because he did not inspire confidence in us. So we're going to pull back temporarily. I don't think it's forever. They're going to pull back now and say, get your act together. Let's see what your moderation looks like. If we agree with it, if it works, we'll jump right back in.
Do you not believe, though, that there is some measure of anti-right bias in why these people are doing it? Exactly as Vincent kind of played out.
It depends on the people. He
chose a team, and they said, no way.
There's a lot of celebrities that are leaving, and it's all because of the anti-right.
Alyssa Milano.
Yeah. Well, not just her, but a bunch of people are going. And I've seen them, you know, say, this is my last post. This is a, you know, I think Jim Carrey or something like that. But
I was going to bring up the Alyssa Milano cell phone. Like, and I'm going to sell my Tesla because I hate the person that brother goes to Volkswagen. And like, you freaking think made Volkswagen, did you? And before you run to any other car manufacturer, here's newsflash for you. Volkswagen owns a lot of your other luxury brands.
Right. But it's the same. It's been like that. I mean, there's people like that that are part of their motivation and thought is because of he's associating himself right now with the right. So they're going, well, we don't want that. And then, but when it's something else, when Twitter was doing things that the right didn't like, they were doing the same things.
Right.
So, I mean, it's just, you know, you hear fake news all the time. Everybody's like, well, that's fake news, that's fake news, that's fake news. Everything's fake news. Well, where do you get your news from? What source do you get your news from when you don't trust anything?
I trust NewsGuard certified websites only.
Okay. It's NewsGuard. What's that?
NewsGuard. It's produced by Microsoft. They go through and they verify websites and they give them ratings based off their journalist ethics.
Come with an ESG score?
Maybe.
Honestly, I think this biggest issue is that Twitter is so massive and people like to bring it up as the end all to be all, as something to talk about.
It is the town square.
When nobody, like, when you look at in a overview, only 8% of people use Twitter. Mm-hmm. Period.
I thought it was 1%.
No, total number of people who have accounts, assuming that everybody is active is correct, it's 8% of the population.
Right.
But everybody holds Twitter as this thing of pay attention to me. Whatever I say matters. Mm-hmm. If you just ignore Twitter, all this stuff goes away.
I think maybe we talked about this last time. Like, journalists use it.
Yep.
And people who are in the media use it. And people who are in thought leadership positions use it. And so, therefore, there's an outsized amount of conversation around social media companies. But if you are sitting and talking to regular people, they're not on social media at near the volume that I am, for instance.
I mean, Twitter got started because it was a fun way for people to say, hey, I'm doing something, blast out to other people.
Right.
And we come across, it's a text message, and that's
it's
why
a
it was
chat.
140.
It's a,
and
they would a say, public hey, chat.
I'm going to be here, let's all meet up. And they would be, oh, let's go, and then they would do that. And then what happened was some mildly famous people, maybe a little bit more famous people, started getting on there, and people realized I can have a conversation with somebody that I like, somebody who I look up to, somebody who is a celebrity whose work I like. I can respond to them. We can have a conversation, mm-hmm. and that drove more people to doing this, and that's where that started. And then, of course, once you start getting people, the people who want to grift off those people come in, and they start doing their thing, and that's mm-hmm. when everything starts changing.
And it's more of like a fire hose. I think one thing that you hate, some things I hate about Facebook, but also what makes people stay there is the simple fact that you can curate your feed so you can make it as your feed is just your family and friends. It's not the world.
Well, that's the big problem with Instagram right now is that it used to be more – Facebook kind of switched more towards brands because that's where they made money. And so people got on Instagram because you could see more of your friends and your family.
Yep.
And now Reels is taking over. People are seeing brands. They're seeing people that they don't know doing funny videos, which fine. But they're really there because they want to see their friends and family, the 150 people they follow, mm-hmm. as opposed to 150 people they follow plus – all the crap that you're trying to shove down my throat.
Right. Now
I can hear you breathing.
Now we have this whole influencer class of yeah. people, right? So these influencers, self-important people who think yeah. that because they have a lot of followers and they can say something and get it out to a lot of people, they are deserving of some sort of praise or level, higher level status and something else. Most of them are terrible,
right,
terrible people.
I'm right here.
And it's incredible to watch as influencers who think they're better than anybody else. There's a whole thing where the sister of the guy who made Rick and Morty is an influencer. And she wanted to go to his studio for 20 minutes for free, and when the person said no, she proceeds to send, like, a small novel worth of complaints of, I was just trying to get you free press. I'm going to tell everybody I know never to use you ever. And then she uses her account, her daughter's Instagram account to message her, emails her private email account, because that's what their brain is so focused on, I'm the most important person
yep.
in the world.
So there's this one influencer on YouTube called Charlotte Dobro, which I like her. I think she's funny, and she's actually earned kind of the following she has. But one thing she likes to do is go through, because she has a producer. The producer put together these lists of things for her to react to. And a lot of times it's influencers who have gone nuts, influencers who are being Karens, who are being, you know, self-right, believe that they deserve things. Like, and it's most often that, where they're saying, hey, you know, I want you to do all this work for free, but, you know, I'll cross-promote you, and that's mm-hmm. how you get busy. And the people are like, no. I don't, you know, they're saying no to them because they don't trust that, rightfully so. And then those people, those influencers, just, you know, kind of shit all over.
Yeah. Can you please fix the chirp in the background? Do you have a 9-volt battery? Can we fix that? The fire. Look, this is your house. There is a lot of equipment in here that is mine, and you plan to use it, right? Are you going to use the space for we Loki wall? If I have to explain to you why the landlord should put up a working fire detectors.
Landlord detects is like rent's pay. Anyway, so back to the Twitter must bash. But yeah, not many people are on Twitter. And if you get away from these spaces, you know, I think it's a good thing that people are getting away from this. We are falling back into this 1990s AOL trap again, where people think the internet is just Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. Yeah. They don't go outside.
TikTok.
And TikTok. They don't go outside of these worlds. That's when a lot of these people are like, I'm leaving Twitter, going to Mastodon, and realize, holy smoke, the internet's out here. We thought these people were bad. Heck no.
Oh, yeah. That's the problem is that if you think Nick Fuentes is bad.
Oof.
Nick Fuentes is bad.
Yes. He's bad.
Alex Jones is not good, okay? But they are not even close to what Harry probably, what Tad accesses, Tad Talks accesses on a daily basis. I don't even know what corners of the internet he's in. But he's all in on the dark enlightenment stuff.
If you think 4chan is as dark as the internet gets to go, oh, man, that is you're on the top of the iceberg of crap, okay?
Yes. Yeah. I mean, I talk to people, and they're like,
this isn't even the worst chan. 2chan's right there.
So if I want to go and look at, like, what these, I'm not going to call them conspiracy theorists, but, like, the people who are like, oh, well, Kanye legitimately is talking about, not the Hitler Jew part, right? But I'm talking about, like, the, you know, I'm being manipulated by my Hollywood people, and then I mention it to somebody on the right, and they're like, oh, yeah, his life coach was doing X, Y, and Z. And, like, how do people find that stuff out? Like, because to me, I'm very conventional. I go to conventional websites. But I don't know how, like, Tad comes up with the information that – And I'm like, where do you go and look at this stuff? And
Echo
then I go
chambers.
To, Yeah, but then I go to, like, the random boards on 4chan, because I'm like, maybe he's going to 4chan, and it's just porn.
It's, all right, it's everywhere, and you have to curate, find where people are coming from, and go to those different places. I think one thing you do is you can easily create a good, easy Python script just to go search the internet for this person's name, see where they're mentioned at. Mm-hmm. And you can pull yourself a good list, like, I need this person's name. Go out and crawl the net, find sites for this thing. And you can't use Google for that. Google doesn't search the whole internet. Get a better search engine. Trust me, they're out there.
No, they've become markedly worse in the last year, especially.
Yeah, that's why, like, I rolled my own, thanks to Network Chuck. Yeah, did a great series on how to roll your own search engine, which I've been using mine. I love it. It's fun.
Like, Twitter search is broken. You can't search a tweet on Twitter.
The best thing about it, you can set it so your own personal databases. So, like, when I use my search engine, I got to also search my company's, like, knowledge base at the exact same time. So it's like I just search for something. So I need to make a policy or something at work if I'm looking for, like, a template, but if it actually doesn't exist inside the knowledge base or somewhere inside the massive files at work, you know, it should pop up.
So it's just like Windows when you're going to start menu and type this stuff in. Yeah. It looks for your local stuff, and if there's a find it there, go out.
Yeah, but it searches, like, the knowledge base and our S3 right. buckets.
You two can talk about this and load people.
I was trying to give him a jab about it.
Back to things that people understand what you're talking about.
There's also OSINT stuff.
What is that?
Open source and intelligence. It's a really, really neat field. It's part of cybersecurity.
I guess my question is, like, when you say the internet is bigger than these things, I don't know what you mean, because to me, the internet is going to the New York Times website and to Facebook and to, like, most people, right? Like, it's traditional websites you could find in Google. What is the internet, Harry?
It's the AOL button that you have on your PC, right? And it gives you that small little window, curated stuff, blah, blah, blah.
I really don't know how to answer that question because, like, my brain, when you say, like, what the heck is the internet, my first question is big I or little I?
I don't I think our listeners understand, like, that there's, like, the Internet of Things and there's wired connectivity and, like, there's like, infrastructure. But when you're talking about information, you know, and it's bigger than this, then I guess I'm talking about big I.
Yeah, big I, yeah. Yeah. Basically what I'm talking about is when you think about just like cloud servers and stuff like that, they're just servers that are out there and they're doing things out there.
The unprofessionality.
I was like,
my Do Not Disturb wore out because it was only set for an hour because we were supposed to be doing an hour show.
Well, we haven't even hit an hour yet.
I know we haven't even started. Well,
I'm talking about, because out there in the world, there's tons of websites that most people have never heard of and doesn't get crawled or doesn't get picked up. And some people, like, I've got sites that I refuse to let Google or some search engines even find my site. Yep. I make it so they can't find my site.
Yeah, so there's a robot file that you can put in your website that says, don't crawl me.
Right,
and then there's also, as part of the internet, you have basically what you can search by name, domain names, things like that, DNS. Mm-hmm. But then there's also a whole slew of stuff that's out there that has no – it's all IP address based.
Right.
And you've got a thing called the dark web, you know, that people talk about. Well, what's the dark web? Dark web is just the sites that aren't indexed. They aren't in the search engines. And they do stuff free of attention only by the people who want to use those sites.
They're not the scary, oh, my God, everything horrible is going to happen there.
Right.
There are some sites like that, but that's what it is. But –
yeah.
But sometimes these people just want to do stuff. They don't want other people staring at them while they do it. It's like, I'm working on this thing, this project I want to get done, and I just don't want somebody to come in and go, oh, I like your project, I'm taking it.
Yeah.
So I'm just doing it in silence over here with the people that I want to see this.
To most people, the internet is where you have to sign up for an account. It's not like the old GeoCities days, which I loved Internet 1.0, where you could go and find a vast amount of knowledge with just going to different GeoCities websites or websites that had a lot of plain text and maybe a dancing GIF.
Which, if you like the GeoCity, if the internet to you was a GeoCity style or tripod, wherever you
went. Not the AOL style where it's contained.
That's the main reason why you like Facebook or Twitter, because it's the exact same thing. You have these micro pages and you just keep switching.
I'm not talking about GeoCity specifically, but you know the style of website that I'm talking about where it's just, it was people posting information. It was before Internet 2.0, where you had to have an account to access information, and it was just people writing, you know, whatever. You could look up any kind of topic, and you just, like, the blog role was very important because then you could kind of link to other places.
It still exists. Mm-hmm. People still do that.
Yeah, just everybody got sucked into these social media sites because that's where their friends were hanging out, and they wanted to talk to friends.
And it's, you can definitely see that influence of the people that are, that focus on that. When you look at them, they're trying to implement their tried implementations of Internet 3.0 and how it all was just, oh, we're just going to make it blockchain and put NFTs. We're not really understand what NFTs are, and cryptocurrency. We're not really understand what cryptocurrency is, and people go broke because this one influencer says, oh, dump all your money in pee pee poo poo coin, and then you lose all your money because you bought the dip, and then they sold everything, and then you're broke.
Yeah, that decentralization, moving on to our next topic, is really good for freedom of speech because there's nobody controlling it. And last night, Matt Taibbi, at the behest of Elon Musk, put out the Twitter files. What?
I hated him. I hope somebody pees in his wheeze.
All right, let me explain what is going on first. So Matt Taibbi, who is a Rolling Stone journalist,
Rolling Stone journalist who's fired.
Oh, of course, you have Taibbi derangement syndrome because he's one of these guys like Glenn Greenwald who...
He's literally the Wish.com version of Glenn Greenwald who was on the
left. Matt Taibbi is way better than Glenn Greenwald.
No, he's not. This
way better than Glenn Greenwald.
Have you read his stuff the last few years? It is terrible.
Okay.
Yeah, if his table was smaller, I'd give Reinhold a high five because, he is the Wish.
All right, let me continue on with what the Twitter files are. So he gives Matt Taibbi, a journalist at Substack, taibbi.substack.com if you'd like to go and read, author of several fantastic books like Hate Inc. and Griftopia. But he has definitely tried to cater to a more right-leaning audience and has become like one of those guys who is. I'm a leftist, but I am all in on the right side.
Ah, so he read his own book, Griftopia, and just used that moving forward.
I don't think he's a grifter. No, I don't get
what
that.
What I think is going on,
he's not Dave Rubin.
I just want to break it real quick.
So, Dave Rubin is a piece of garbage.
Yeah. So no, he's like the Glenn Greenwald and Candace Owens, where they were in their area, they were doing well, and they had some success. And then they couldn't recreate that success again. They started falling off. They started falling out of favor. Glenn Greenwald had the Snowden stuff, and he got real popular, and he tried to do this thing and have some influence, and the people started listening to him or caring about him, and he couldn't stand it. The same with Matt Taibbi. He wrote a couple of good books that were really great to read, and they had a lot of good information on it. And then he couldn't recreate that juice. So they saw an avenue to go, okay, we're going to flip over here and grab these people because there's power in being from the other side, speaking to the truth of it. Right?
I don't agree with you because I've read a lot of Matt Taibbi over the last few years. And Glenn Greenwald, too, I think have genuinely had, like, they see things differently, sort of like an Andrew Sullivan. I think comparing them to Candace Owens is completely unfair because I think she says everything. She doesn't know what she believes. She's like Dinesh D'Souza, who may have at one point had principles but then tried to play the game.
Tucker did the same thing.
Right. But so Matt Taibbi puts out this long thread where he was given by presumably Elon Musk access to all of the Twitter emails. I'm going to mute everybody's mic because everybody is very breathy today. So just if you all would kind of lean back from the microphone, that'd be wonderful. We're still working out the kinks, so we're trying to get all the tech set up. My noise gate strip worked. Everybody else's didn't, so just please be patient with the sound quality as we recreate our setup that we had for 10 years, 5 years, and then broke it all down and I'm putting it back together. But so Matt Taibbi gets the emails from Twitter and goes through a couple different segments. Like so there's two different distinct things. The first is that slowly over time, he writes, the staff and executives began find more and more uses for tools to control speech that were designed to combat. So basically they took, and we've talked about this on the show, there was a pivot around 2018, 2019, but specifically after Alex Jones was decidedly banned on 12 different platforms in a single day, that these moderation tools were used for hackers and sex workers and conspiracy theorists of the most extreme kind or racists. And then at some point, all these major platforms, because of quote-unquote brand safety, a.k.a. I don't want my Tide advertisements next to a conservative's rants about Joe Biden. And these companies started using their tools for moderation to get rid of illegal things for speech. And then by 2020, these companies started being approached by outsiders, specifically from the government, which is where we find it troubling in general. It's a episode that I think it's out or it will be released. I don't think it's out. It's with Leslie Corbley, where we talk about jawboning and the concept of jawboning and how these companies would, during COVID especially, get text messages from the CDC or the White House, the official White House administration, right, not just the campaigns, and would mark things as misinformation, or they would send them a video and say, this particular meme or this particular video is harmful to the public. You need to take this down. And there's an implied threat. Gangsters are very good at plausible deniability, so they're never going to do something directly. But, you know, if you could do something about this, this would be great. But an official action, like an executive order, take this down, would be ruled out by the First Amendment. So what they've done is they've used their soft power, their bully pulpit, to start to influence a lot of these companies. And that is called jawboning. And so, to be fair, he has a few examples of the Trump campaign asking for things to be taken down. But mostly the Biden campaign was reaching out. They even, like, asked to have a James Woods, the actor that has turned into a right-wing guy, one of his tweets taken down. And, you know, more to review for the Biden team, one email says. And then the person wrote, handled these, taking them down. So the DNC would ask for things to be taken out.
I just want to point out that specific tweet that or that email that you're talking about. Mm-hmm. Have you looked at those tweets?
No.
Do you know what they are?
What are they?
They are Hunter Biden dick pics.
Okay. Interesting. All right. So let me finish. So the next piece is the Hunter Biden stuff. So Mark Zuckerberg said on Joe Rogan that they decided to take down the New York Post article of the Hunter Biden laptop, the laptop from hell story. And all of these different companies decided that this was misinformation, that they took the word from the government on it and said that this was a piece of misinformation and that this story needed to be scrubbed from the internet and completely demoted from their system. Now, when you read through these emails, they're wanting to take it down and then finding a reason to explain why it was taken down. And it's very clear from their lawyers and other people involved that they knew that their reasoning was not sound and it was not a slam dunk and that they were largely doing it for political purposes. So, this is being taken as, oh, it's a nothing burger from anybody that is left of center, and everybody right of center is taking this as the greatest scandal of all time. But I think it just kind of confirms what we always knew, which is that a lot of these companies are leaning into taking down speech as opposed to letting there be speech. I think we can all agree and have agreed and talked ad nauseum about what are the shapes of speech. People do at these private companies want some gating. They do want some discernment. They do not want to see Hunter Biden's dick. They don't want to see porn blasted into their feed unless they are like Harry and directly go to that and subscribe to that. Hold on. What did you say?
I go horny on Maine, so I'm fine.
Right. So, but I do not. And so I don't want to be exposed to the kind of content that Harry might choose. I want to be able to have a little bit of control over what I see.
Correct.
That becomes much harder once you get into politics, where you go, everybody who believes that the COVID vaccine is causing myocarditis in kids, specifically young men 18 to 39, well, that's a conspiracy theory. And then we've seen later on that it's not a conspiracy theory. There's several thousand kids that had issues. That's where the debate has started. So that is kind of the rough translation of what Matt Taibbi said. You can go and read it for yourself. But everybody's talking about it. So, Harry, your thoughts first.
Oh, yeah, because you're right. Because some people want some gatekeeping. Everybody wants some gatekeeping, and nobody really is a free speech absolutist. No matter how much it's like, oh, I'm a free speech absolutist. No, you're not. Trust me, you're not. Go out to the Internet. You will find something like, this should be taken out. All right, there's your free speech absolutist. Trust me. You will have a line. There's a line that exists, and people out there will find it.
Kanye West. Found Alex Jones's line.
Yeah,
well, we'll talk about that next, but continue.
Yeah, I'm sure he didn't think he had a line.
He didn't think he had a line until he's like, oh, okay, we'll talk about that later. But my grandfather.
What was the meme that says basically, what are you doing? You know I owe basically the GDP of several small nations now.
What are you doing? I mean, let's talk about Alex Jones later, because we'll finish with that, but it was so funny. Go ahead. Anybody else want to weigh in? Like, what were your impressions of this? Go ahead, Reinhold.
Yeah, so really what we found out last night was what they had already admitted to a year ago, that they had the issue come in, they mishandled it, and they were, you know, it was wrong for them to do. Admitted that a year, Jack Dorsey admitted it a year ago. So that's what we found out. But what we did get last night is a lot of trying to make a story out of the information that's being presented, right? So it's like, here's some data, and here's things you should know about it, but not all those things that he said you should know about it found out to be actually accurate. Because as happens with most stories, you have this sensational thing that comes out. The next day, people are coming around looking at it and going, hey, wait a minute. So one of the things that was stated in the thread was that, the government had not said there was anything to worry about on the story. And there's several people who are posting, I was in the room when we had the meeting with the law enforcement where they were saying this is suspected Russian interference.
Right. But why take the government's word for it? That's the entire shape of the argument that I have a problem with.
Well, the thing is that they saw what happened in 2016, which is another thing that got switched around last night, because I was reading Tucker Carlson's op-ed about this, which was amazing fiction. I don't know what universe he lives in. But
send that to me.
And then it says, but he's saying basically that they didn't want to have what happened in 2016 happen again, meaning they didn't want Donald Trump to win. And that's not what they're saying. They were saying they didn't want to have Russian interference and bots and things going on. Now, personally, I think free speech is free speech, and everybody has it, so there's no reason why we should be blocking Russians from saying what they want to say. But private companies do have the right to say they don't want to have that stuff on their platform. You don't have a right to broadcast speech. You have a right to have your speech, but you don't have a right to have somebody else be forced to allow it to go on.
But
their
if you systems. Are a okay, you're a private company, but you're also a shareholder company, and you have safety plans and terms of service and all these agreements. And what these emails show is that they didn't follow their own rules. What pisses people off.
And the other thing that we talked about last time, you said where you were saying that I was wrong,
which I'm right.
I end up being right, and you don't realize what you're saying with that, because what you're saying is, in this case, they didn't follow all of their rules that helps them try to be unbiased.
Their own words are saying that they're
right, infers the fact that they most often do try to do that. They do try to follow the rules. They have them in place for a reason. They're trying to be this.
Harry, this is why Dennis or Reinhold's annoying. Okay, Reinhold is like when you argue with him, he's like the I don't see why anti-Semitism is a big deal guy. What? I don't understand what the problem is here.
To be fair, Reinhold does have his balaclava on right now in Kansas.
Like,
he's got this Yoo-hoo bottle.
I just, you know, I don't know why you can't just ask these questions. I don't know how to explain to you, but when 99% of people look at this and go, yeah, Ro Khanna's writing in going, I don't think this is a good idea. And you're like, I don't see the big deal.
No. I don't see it as being, I'm not saying it's not a problem. I'm not saying it's something we should be fighting against. What I'm saying is that it's not free speech issue. This is not what we want the platform to be like issue. We want to be able to say this stuff without having it be blocked from other people unnecessarily. But it's not because of free speech. It's because that's what we want this to be like, right? So when you start saying free speech, you need to get people who are insane on the right saying, well, we should be putting these people in jail for violating free speech. Where's the indictments? Where's the, let's get Biden out of there. Let's get him impeached. All this stuff because it's not a right that's being violated.
Yeah. Saying that Bob Sexton said Biden ought to be impeached over this, which is just
patently ridiculous. It's just we want our spaces like Twitter to allow for as much open speech as possible with the ability to block who you want to block, but also to have some limitations on what's going to be there that you might run into. Yeah. So we expect there to be moderation. We expect that moderation to be unbiased. And we expect that moderation to be effective. And the biggest thing with it is you have to tell us what the rules are. Right. These companies aren't telling anybody what the rules are, so everybody's freaking out because something happens. They don't know why this is getting blocked.
It was obvious, to your point, it was obvious at the time that when the New York Post, which is an accredited media outlet, whether you like their bias or not,
NewsGuard certified.
They are NewsGuard certified?
Mm-hmm.
All right. So the New York Post is an actual newspaper, even though they lean right or they lean clickbaity is maybe the better word for
they
it, like a Daily
headlines.
Mail.
Deceptive headlines.
Right. So like a Daily Mail article, you really need to like read it closely. But the New York, same with the New York Times, right? So, but the New York Post posts this, mm-hmm. and the reality is that it turned out to be true, but
it's not technically true either.
Quiet.
It is.
This is reality. Welcome to it. But the point is that everybody at the time knew that this was a little off, that this was out of bounds, that they had censored something that was, like, I'm saying you're right, Dennis, in that it seemed remarkable at the time, and it is still, remarkable as opposed to just sort of rote, like,
yeah.
Every time somebody gets censored for, like, the Babylon Bee gets censored for a joke or whatever, everybody sort of talks about how crazy that is. And that people grab onto the peaks as opposed to realizing the rote. It's like, have you watched Love Actually, the Christmas movie? And it starts off with people hugging in the airport, and they're like, I think love is very common. You always hear about how love goes wrong. But in reality, love happens every day in the millions, and then you only hear about the one or two bad things. And so it's like a thing of degrees. So, go ahead.
One, we need a humidifier for the studio. Two, very dry in here. But no, it's also accent. I think the weird thing is happening is that it happened everywhere with the story that not only did Twitter happen, it happened in on Facebook as well, or Meta. The Meta companies like trying to share
it. Fox News wouldn't put it up.
Right, and Fox News also wouldn't put it up
because it was sus.
It was.
We didn't talk about it for that reason.
Right.
I never posted about it for that reason because it was like this feels like one of those let's wait and see what happens as opposed to let's just run with it as evidence of a larger conspiracy.
And the problem I had with it was at the time when the New York Post puts the thing out and people say, oh, really? Show us the evidence that this has happened. Give us the data. Mm-hmm. Rudy Giuliani's out there printing on 8x10 pieces of paper, screenshots that he's taking of data, and it's like, that proves nothing.
Yeah, it's true. They gave it to the wrong person. Rudy should have gave it up to somebody else.
And the chain of integrity on that data, they said that there's a belief that there is a snapshot of that data that is actually from the laptop without anybody touching it.
Yeah.
But everything, there's so many different snapshots out there. They found one that's got like 20 gig of data that's been added on there talking about Burisma and talking about this, talking about all these other conspiracy theories thrown in there. There's all the evidence of what dates things were put in or deleted or anything like that have all been scrubbed off of it, deleted off of it, which is suspicious. You know, all this stuff has been happening. So there's no way to tell, even if this was, if there was something in there that was going to be used as evidence, can't trust it now.
Yeah, it's trusted because when he should have got it, he should have filled out
the
chain of custody.
Now, the theory is that the FBI has a copy of it from the day it came in.
Yeah.
They're not, they didn't do anything about it. It was Trump that was running FBI at the time.
Right, yeah.
They didn't do anything with it.
It's weird. Right now, like the laptop story is mostly big because of the censorship that did happen from the story. Didn't get people to talk and discuss.
Talk more to the mic.
The other thing with it is, unbeknownst to most people, like the government asks if you have a server inside the United States, the government is constantly talking to these companies, AWS, DigitalOcean. If it runs in this, U.S. has the ability to go inside these servers and ask for any of this information they want from it. They don't have to fill out a warrant. They can just get the information off of it. If you don't believe me, go ahead, search for it in your favorite search engine, and you can find that they do this, and they do it routinely. So this relationship between big tech and government is there because of the Patriot Act. Or simple just access. Human beings wanting access to parties and events and stuff like that. If I help you out with this thing, you're going to let me go to this party, this event, or let me talk to somebody else.
Paul, what do you think?
Honestly,
So what I was thinking is that they're finally treating these companies like traditional companies in the exact same way that you're talking about. Where they are.
Right. Because, people are upset with Elon Musk buying Twitter, but, perfectly fine for years.
Can you please not interrupt me? I'm not finished.
With Jeff Bezos buying Washington Post, and then still people like, well, WAPO, I'm like, Washington Post is owned by Jeff Bezos. How are you fine with one billionaire, which this billionaire is actively taking over the world right now? This did Jeff Bezos take it over the world tour no one cares about.
Yeah.
And but like, oh, Elon Musk is like, he's bad, but Jeff Bezos is worse.
That's how Lex Luthor works, man. He works in the shadows.
Right. Did you see, he's got his bald head, he's all built down and cackling with those robot arms?
He's Lex Luthor,
All right, but tech enjoyed, especially these social media companies, enjoyed, a golden boy effect where they got left alone. But then what you see in these emails is how most major corporations are treated like, hey, because they hire people that worked in the government, so they all can get access, but then they also, it's a give and take at major corporations between government agencies and these major corporations. So, Paul, do you have any actual thoughts?
No.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thanks for being here.
Yeah, because if they accidentally do something like, okay, you may have effed up here, but you really helped us out on that case a couple months ago. Thank you, buddy.
What I find interesting, though, is that people are realizing this and going, oh, my God, this is happening. It's been happening for centuries.
Right. Oh, yeah,
this is nothing new. It's just the way things work. I mean, we're talking human beings running systems. Human beings are human beings. They're biased. They're flawed. And they're going to do things in their own interest, and that's just the way things kind of have to be. Now, I think with the rise of journalism and the idea of journalism that happened about, 60, 80 years ago, where people started really trying to get rid of the red journalism stuff, the bad stuff that was out there, they tried to do something good. They put guardrails up, and they tried to put controls in place, but that didn't last long. It went off the rails not too long after that.
Right. Sorry, my brain went hearing Reinhold just say Germanism, the Germanism. I'm just like, where, Reinhold?
That's a good segue to our final topic of the day, which is Alex Jones. Those of you, did you guys watch it?
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. Twice. Watched it twice.
I got through the first hour. It's basically the way to describe it. If you have not heard it. Is Alex Jones on Joe Rogan, but with another Alex Jones. I listened to it, and then I watched him on Tucker a month ago. I watched about 5 minutes of him on Tucker. And I have to say, the deterioration between then and now is significant.
I don't know about that, because Tucker, they deleted so much of that interview. Yes.
Okay. I wondered if they had maybe edited it, and we got Kanye edited, because the way he comes across on Tucker 1 month ago is very controlled and very you know, he's sort of having a conversation like this, and here's how I felt about that at the time. But then when he was on, you know, let me see if I can pull up the videos that I posted.
Which one? Like, when he was on the Beanie Cast on the Tim Cast, IRL.
What happened there?
Was he wearing a thing on his face?
Not on Tim Cast. He was not wearing the balaclava with Tim. No.
I forgot to bring. I was going to bring one of my things and have it on my face and start the show. Like the Hitler thing was bad, but as a broadcaster going on a radio show and wearing something over your face, I was like, take the mask off. This is bad radio.
Let me just state.
Oh yeah, but then the speakerphone.
Let me just say the phrase. The Hitler thing was bad, but is the worst thing you could possibly say.
No, the Hitler thing was right is the worst thing you could say, which I don't agree with.
Yeah. But Spangle, you missed the point. He was taking the mask off.
Yeah, right.
Oh, yeah, that's true, yeah.
So let's listen to a few of these. Let's listen to a few clips from the speakerphone into the
interview. They don't run anything. They're clean out. We run the streets.
All right, so this is Kanye talking about ADL and the ADL stands for
Anti-Defamation League.
Yeah, which is a pro-Jewish anti-Semitism group.
Yeah.
They don't run anything. They're played out. We run the streets. Same thing on the ADL. All right. Well, censorship. They don't run anything. They're played out. We run the streets. Well, I'm seeing what you have in the video. But that's not, we don't know who they are. No one in high school knew what the word anti-Semitic was until Ye made it popular.
I hear you. It's definitely a tiger by the tail. What do you want to call it?
Oh, yeah, I hear you. It's tiger by the tail. That's such a, like, an old boomer thing to say. Like, yeah, you know, well, the weather is what it is. You're, like, ready to move on. But I invented anti-Semitism was certainly a peach.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. The whole, like, to give Alex Jones some credit before we get into that, back into the, so another coin in the Alex Jones was right at argument before we moved on to fully this budget, when I'm putting this out, is that Alex Jones predicted that the Patriot Act and all the stuff of the government working with that will come back and get to everybody else here in the government. So, ha-ha, Alex Jones is right. Another coin in the jar. Anyway. But to this thing with him on Tim Cast, they apparently they were discussing about other different things. They were trying to talk about the dinner, which kicked off a lot of that news cycle too of Ye and Nick Fuentes having dinner at Mar-a-Lago with Donald Trump. And I remember seeing the echoings of this thing. Okay, something's wrong. Something feels up with this thing, because when I first read the article of it, was like, did I believe this dinner happened? Yeah, but I hated the article saying, like, well, sources close to the said this happened. Like, no. Who was also at this dinner? No. You had dinner with Nick Fuentes, or you were there. You do not get to remain anonymous. You were there. Yeah. Who are you?
So a lot of that has come out. NBC News put out an article where basically here's how the whole dinner with Trump thing happened. Milo Yiannopoulos, in my opinion, is manipulating Kanye West. I don't want to dead name him. So Milo found out that he was going, he helped arrange it, I believe, through an InfoWars producer, and also Katie, somebody who worked on the Trump campaign, and that's how it kind of all came together. Was Milo was the nexus, and he was like, hey, you should take my friend Nick. Mm-hmm. So obviously Kanye knows who Nick Fuentes is, and brought him along, but they showed up and they got in with the help of this former Trump staffer who had forgotten her ID, but they let her in because she had a credit card with her name on it, which is great security, guys. This whole episode shows why Donald Trump shouldn't have nuclear secrets in his closet.
Most of the D.C. security is this trap.
Right. So, anyways.
What? No. People have gotten up to the White House several different times, just walked into the back door under Obama.
It's a little better than the screening process that allows Nick Fuentes to get close to a presidential candidate and have dinner with him.
Yeah.
That, like, the people that are around him right now, which is what Nick went to tell him. So Milo Yiannopoulos is like a lot of these Trump people who feel that I helped make you and you were nowhere to be found when I got in trouble and now I'm spiteful. You watch Lauren Southern's video, he's a very spiteful, horrible person. He keeps blackmailing everybody. Laura Loomer and Milo Yiannopoulos are in a fight with each other. He's, you know, she's releasing information. Milo keeps tweeting out that Kanye West is gay. Then the Laura Loomer, he responds with, here's my hard drive of all the blackmail that I have on everybody with all the emails. I'm not afraid to use it. And so he said that he sent Nick Fuentes to dinner with Trump so Trump could hear how his base perceives him, which is a telling tell that Trump's base is Nick Fuentes. And and Milo knew that this would be very bad for Trump. And this was kind of the thing that I think was we talked about last time we were here, how many people aren't going to support Trump on the right. And this just was the big nail in the coffin. There was an interesting tell in this, is that he used to be able to change the news cycle. And so he goes out and gives a speech a couple days after all the Fuentes stuff and says, yeah, I stole the documents. And nobody, it got reported, but nobody talked about it. No one cared. He wasn't able to change the news cycle, which is an important tell.
This is considered basically the Republican off-ramp, this event.
Yes. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Finally. Because they have somebody else, but they've had so many different options and chances to do this, and they never did it. You know, Nick Fuentes is a particularly despicable human being.
He's a fellow traveler.
A fellow traveler with and a guest on several other big libertarian podcasts, and it's going to be a real problem for people like Dave Smith if they want to run for president. Because you could kind of get away with it before because nobody really knew who Nick Fuentes was. But now everybody knows who Nick Fuentes was, yep. And you've got some stuff on tape that you don't want out there. I played this on the pat-down for Miss Pat, and she had an interesting point that I'll make after we listen to Nick Fuentes' words.
We're allowing women to go out into the society and lie and bear false witness and cast spells and worship minerals and rocks. And women are out there naked, and they're killing babies, and they're getting to be 300 pounds, and they get in your face, and we can't do anything about it. You can't hit these people. You can't punch them. They don't arrest them. And basically, they're taking over the culture on social media. I said, what happened to the good old days 1,000 years ago when people like this, instead of arguing with them or saying, hey, listen, darling, everything's okay, they would dunk them in the river, burn them alive. I said, this is the kind of thing that we need to see more of, is burning them alive a little bit more. Taking women like this, and instead of, hiring a lawyer for all this money and we're going to sue them for defamation, how about we go to the constable or whatever, we go to the police officer, the soldier stationed in the village, and say, hey, we got to burn her alive. You know, hey, this woman is worshiping rocks. She's bearing false witness. She's lying about men. And basically, we need to capture her and throw her in the lake or set her on fire. I feel like that would be more appropriate. And everybody freaked out. And this was all over Twitter. And everybody said, oh, this is horrible. Is this guy for real? Yeah, I'm for real. To have a civilization, you need to have class, okay? When I say class, I mean classes. You need to have commoners and aristocrats and kings, and we don't have that anymore. There's no semblance of that. There's no semblance of society, meaning like clubs and people knowing each other and this sort of large amounts of social capital being invested in particular kinds of things. It's not there. It's not there in the universities. It's not in the designer brands. Not in the industry. In industry, it doesn't exist anymore. We've just got this big N-word free-for-all. It's a big end-up, N-rified, J-ified free-for-all. We live in Africa with more stuff, okay? We live in Africa or Mexico with more stuff. We live in a big Middle Eastern bazaar. We're a big fucking Middle Eastern bazaar with people sitting on blankets and selling cockroaches on sticks and rugs.
He's very proud of himself. He thinks that's hilarious. But Miss Pat made the point that if he were a real racist, he would have said the N-word. But he didn't. He cleaned it up because he knows he shouldn't be saying that, and he's just basically an opportunist, which I thought was a great point.
Well, he's a coward.
Yes.
At his core, he is an absolute coward, and the fact that people look to him as some sort of leader astonishes me.
Yeah. Right.
No, I think he's probably racist. I think he just didn't want to say it because, you know, just because you want to say that word, you are also free to catch hands after saying that word.
it could be that he thought if he said it, then it would get filtered out from any of the automatic tools. Yeah. So he had to do that in order to get his
correct.
Well, I've got a video here of him saying that black people are inherently violent because they struggle with impulse control. Mm-hmm. He defends Hitler as a German statesman.
Was that Lou Rockwell or was that Nick
Fuentes?
Right.
Around the Holocaust.
There
were also so let's listen to this clip.
Hitler was a German statesman. And what was there concentration camps? Were there death camps? I think so. I think there were death camps. I do. But there were also death camps against the Germans, and there were lots of camps. There were camps everywhere. We were in a global war. We had Japanese internment camps. There were lots of camps. There were lots of atrocities going on. But Hitler was the most uniquely evil guy in the world, and we get these cartoonish depictions of electric floors and mattresses made out of human hair and lampshades made out of lips, and we created this completely like cartoonish, nonsensical narrative, and then that's the standard, that's the myth, that's the narrative that defines all of our politics now.
That happened, right? These people are trying to make sure that nobody has actually listened to the Nuremberg trials, because they admitted freely all of this stuff happened. They just didn't think they had done anything wrong because they were following orders and they were doing what the United States had been doing.
Well, it's the classic BS of, well, it didn't happen. And if it did happen, it wasn't that bad. And if it was that bad, it was a good thing that it happened that way.
I am so tired of this outrage culture stuff. That's what it really is. It's about to be shocking and outrageous. Because you bring up him in particular, because that's the one that everybody knows. Mm-hmm. If they really wanted to talk about, you know, oh, this person did nothing wrong, they would talk about the ones that did that. Were more prevalent than what he did, because Mao was right there. Nobody talks about that. He did way more worse stuff, but it's because that's the one that everybody knows.
So what Japan did to Korea?
Exactly. A lot of things that happened that are horrible atrocities, this is the popular one. This is the one that everybody knows about, and they want to jump on that and try to get as much attention brought to themselves by talking about this thing that everybody knows about and just bringing a focus on themselves. And I'm so tired of this outrage culture of them just saying the most obscene, ridiculous stuff just so that way they can have attention.
Well, but for Nick, it's more of he's going to give credit where credit is due, and he doesn't acknowledge the accomplishments of Mao or of the Japanese.
Those were communists. He's anti-Maoist, right?
Well, I mean, not only that, but, you know, there's a little something that's different about the people that perpetrated those atrocities, and they weren't the right atrocities against the right people.
What I love the best is when people are, like, talking about the media elites and things like that, and they talk about, like Yi was saying about the people, the real people, the you know, the down-to-earth people. They're in a struggle with these people who are the elites, right? These people who, you know, let's just call them a proletariat. Are in this class struggle with, let's say, bourgeoisie, because that's a fun name, right?
That's just
a fun thing that these people are really buying into, mm-hmm. while at the same time being very anti-Marxist.
Mm-hmm. My other issue is, why do we care what he has to say? And I know that's a cultural, societal issue. I don't care. I think what he's saying is stupid, and why are we platforming him for saying something that is obviously wrong, that is obviously trying to rile up people?
To a lot of people, it's not obviously wrong. There are a lot of people who are confused and are lost. They're upset about it. I had a friend of mine when I was, you know, in my 20s who was just like, he had been robbed 3 times, and by all 3 times it was by a black person. And he's just like, oh, yeah, he'd start saying those people and this sort of thing. And he was drawn into that mindset. And if you let people like that just go and not counter it, then they start thinking, well, this makes sense. This confirms my biases. And people love to have their biases confirmed.
Let's listen to a little more of Nick Fuentes and ask ourselves, why are libertarian podcasters promoting this person?
Abortion's popular, sodomy's popular, you know, being gay is popular, being a feminist is popular, sex out of wedlock is popular, contraceptives are, that's all popular. That's all, that's not to say it's good, that's not to say I like that. Popular means the people support it, which they do. And it sucks, and it is what it is, but that's why we need dictatorship. That's unironically why we need to get rid of all that. We need to take control of the media or take control of the government and force the people to believe what we believe. Here's the pathway. We have one more election where white people can make the decision. The white people got to make the right decision, and then Trump's got to get in there and never leave. That, to me, at this point, is a pathway. It's time to shut up, elect Trump one more time, and then stop having elections. We have got to talk about the fundamentals of our worldview and what it would look like to build a society based on our distinct worldview. It looks like a society where women don't have the right to vote. And it looks like a society where boys and girls get married as teenagers and start having kids, and they don't use birth control, and they don't use contraceptives, and they have big families and a high birth rate. And it looks like women wearing veils at church. And it looks like women not being in the workforce. Banning gay marriage is back on the menu. Banning sodomy is back on the menu. Banning contraceptives is back on the menu. And basically, we're having something like Taliban rule in America, in a good way. We're having something like a Catholic Taliban rule in America. Okay.
Republicans, including the chairwoman of the GOP, comes out and says, this is entirely wrong. We do not believe, we do not support it. Mm-hmm. We denounce it very forcefully and strongly, right? Mm-hmm. The Libertarian Party is like going, what's the big deal? I mean, they can't even do it.
They don't want to have to defend what Dave Smith has said about him, which I should look up and we can play those clips.
And not just Dave Smith, though. It's so many people in that right-wing populist area of the libertarian movement that are, I don't, we'll get into that on another show we're talking about.
Yeah, let's do that, because I'm sure, you know, people will understand, and participation and donation will show that what's really going on. But I think the one thing, the good thing to talk about is, like what Randall said, is a lot of people who, one, need to understand that it is wrong, and that there is no mistake. Two, SEO. You need it in the SEO. It's really, truly hot right now.
Yeah, I mean, obviously. It's really hot right now.
You have to pump those numbers, man.
That's what gets the clicks and what people want to talk about. But I don't understand why a celebrity says something ridiculous and people are like, well, we have to put him on seven different platforms and tried to tell him that he's wrong, and all he does is get to double down and triple down and say his exact same points over and over.
Well, that's the best thing about it, because you platform this person so they can talk, and then other people are talking, so you find out, especially from your friend group, if there's somebody like, well, he's not that bad. Like, the week prior, even in our little small chat room, someone was trying to, like, well, Kanye really meant this. He really meant this. He really meant this. He really meant this. And then, happened. It was like, whoa, okay. No,
we've got
no,
50,000 more chances. Let's listen to a little bit more of Kanye on Alex Jones.
Can I say something as provocative towards the Mossad? Is that misogynistic? Hold on, let's hear from
At one point, he has a net and a Yahoo. And he is pretending to be Netanyahu and does that voice.
I'm gonna kill you and take the children away from you. Thanks a lot, Netanyahu. Back to you, Alex. Please turn your phone to Michael Rosser. I'm definitely overwhelmed here right now. InfoWars.com, Laura Smith said, listen, all I'm trying to get through
to that? UK, I don't want to get digressive in this, but you're not sure about my grandfather growing up in the richest neighborhood.
Kept doing that. So Alex Jones and Poole and Lex Friedman, they all did their best, but Alex kept trying to lead him on a better path and would try to soften it and try to give him outs. Yeah. And every single time Kanye would take it and go, I like Hitler. And this goes back years where there have been people talking about Kanye saying nice things about Hitler since 2018. Mm-hmm. At some point, it's not a mental breakdown. Like, a person who, there's so much of an impulse to take people's agency away from them and say that he's just being racist because of mental illness. It's like that basketball announcer who said, oh, I was just racist during the play-by-play because of my diabetes. You're not going to become more racist because of your mental illness. You're going to have less ability to control saying exactly what you think. And so don't blame this on the mental illness. He's clearly having an episode of some sort. Mm-hmm. But he is saying exactly what he thinks, and he's being super clear. And you don't have to make excuses for it. I mean, but I'm amazed at how many people – what did Kanye say that was wrong? I didn't realize how many anti-Semitic people I had in my personal circles, in my public Facebook groups. You know, it's right. And they always end up going, well – here's the real enemy, and it's a picture of, like, Ben Shapiro.
Yeah. And it shocks that your system to find these people that are around you this way. That's why I say, like, it's a good just barometer of what people are willing to accept and, yeah. like,
well, you remember, everybody. You know, George Bush hates black people, right? I mean, it's not
Taylor
new.
Swift, yeah. 2013, interrupting Taylor Swift's speech. He's always been this way. And the reason – so I think one of the reasons that libertarians and conservatives sort of eat this stuff up is that they really love things that are transgressive. And even if they aren't racist, they'll go along with racist jokes or racist tropes or racist bullshit because it's transgressive.
It's a slap in the face to the progressives, which are there really against.
I'm going to say this thing that – so here's the zeitgeist, the culture, and I'm going to be countercultural by being this way. And libertarians love to, you know, instinctually kind of like to see the man get punched in the face. But I've just been around so – I was in these brutalist groups in 2015 where everybody would make Jew jokes, and they'd be like, I'm just joking. Why are you getting bent out of shape? And then now they're openly anti-Semitic, saying terrible things. Like, it's just sort of not it's not a joke. They're just trying to get away with it by just joking.
Yeah. They push the boundaries, see where they go. If they get pushback, well, it's a joke. Get pushback, well, it's a joke. And they push a little further, well, it's a joke. And that's how they push. They think that they're pushing society into their direction. And soon everybody's going to be, like Nick Fuentes said, wanting to have – the type of society that we had 200 years ago that didn't really exist 200 years ago, but they believe it is the mythical golden age.
Yeah, so don't let yourself fall into that impulse of loving the transgressive and end up in a place where you believe collectivist terrible things, because racism and bigotry, like statism, only end one place, in the systematic destruction of human beings.
And so we could all say this together, bigotry is repugnant.
Yes.
Yes.
Write it down. Put it in bylaws. Harry, go ahead.
Put it in the bylaws. Yes, please put it in the bylaws.
That belongs in the platform. But
okay.
No.
The bylaws.
All right. Let's start wrapping it up. Harry, go ahead.
Oh, okay. We're wrapping it up.
Yeah.
Well, I will tell you this. When it comes to everything, I think the best thing you could probably do, if you really mad at Elon like I am, or hate the other things, you want to experience the internet. Understand, like, the open source network and stuff that are out there. You do not have to spin up your own Mastodon server to get on Mastodon. You can just join a Mastodon and toot around. Because, like, and the network also needs help. So also with the free and open source stuff that are out there is in the season of giving. If you use something that's open source, give them a dollar. Even to your favorite creator. If it's not us, you know, GIFs, it's a huge benefit to every open source project that's out there. Just to give it a dollar, use OBS, give them a buck, you know, use an Ubuntu, Popo, whatever, oh, you know, just where you're using, trust me, those creators have it. Your ad block, give them a dollar, send them something, you know, find something out, help somebody out, you know, it's huge, those creators, to help with server costs and bandwidth, or just to know that people actually enjoy their product, they just don't download and use it because it's free. So
a few minutes ago, Vincent said something very profound. Why do we care about what Kanye says? And I haven't for the entirety of knowing that he existed. Stop looking to pop culture figures to inform your politics, to inform what you think is right. Read a book, like actually put some thought into your political stances. And also, stop following these people that are out here telling you that other people aren't worth what you are because of some ridiculous characteristic. You know, the idea that we are in 2022 having a discussion about, oh, the evil of the Jewish people, or, you know, Hitler was an okay guy. Like, no, it's disgusting. Elevate yourselves.
Preachy, but okay. Just give me a look at that. Vincent, go ahead.
Me personally, since I'm not usually in the political sphere, I didn't even know who Nick Fuentes was until this gay stuff happened. No, I had no idea. I didn't know who he was. I didn't care anything about what he said. I don't fall down those rabbit holes of listening to people talk about terrible shit all the time. So for me, I'm just more looking at the fact of we see people like Ye or Kyrie Irving or all these people saying outrageous things, and we're holding them to this massive standard of you're a celebrity, I want to trust everything that you have to say no matter who you are and what you do. And my brain is just like, why? Why do we care what these celebrities think? Why do we care that they affect our culture in such a massive, world-shaking way where a rapper whose last album that anybody cared about was College Dropout 10, 15 years ago.
Donda was good. Stop.
Wow. Ouch.
I said anybody cared about. There's a difference.
Right.
But
I guess I would push back and say that if you look at the effect of what Kanye is doing, and yeah, I mean, when somebody says, like, it's cultural norms, right? Like, if somebody says Hitler is good, then, especially if they're an influential figure, you have to reinforce those cultural norms, and you have to say, actually, and I guess we're all surprised by how many people are kind of speaking up, and those are good things because then it gets those conversations started. Not only do you, I'm not the type who says, generally, I think, like, if Harry had some anti-Semitic views, we'd probably talk about it, right? If you're just like a troll on the internet and you're like, the Holocaust didn't happen, I'm just like, I'm not going to waste my time on the internet arguing with somebody that's never going to, in public, turn their life around. But I do think that sometimes when these cultural figures say stuff like this, it's a good opportunity to have conversations about where our cultural norms are. Because if you don't, and the majority doesn't sort of impose the majority opinion, then A, you don't hear the minority opinion, and B, you it's like the pedophilia thing with Balencia or whatever. Balencia.
Valencia?
Valencia. Whatever. The one that fired Kanye West.
You know what that's happened about for that at all? The teddy bear shoots with the
pedo teddy bear and the child porn.
Balenciaga?
Whatever. You're trying to get away with it. You're trying to test balloon and see what the majority opinion is, and the majority opinion should beat the shit out of them for it. And otherwise, pedophilia becomes something that is acceptable in our society. And under no way, like, there is a segment of society that I noticed this pattern during COVID. People would do things that were medically invalidated in April of 2020, but kept doing them and are still doing certain things because they didn't want to look like a Republican nut job. And so we can't let that happen with things like pedophilia or anti-Semitism. Like, we have to enforce boundaries. And I think when you get into a moral relativism, narcissistic society where everybody is, and I'm a classical liberal, trust me, and I hear from my right-leaning friends that I'm too moral relativistic, but I'm not willing to pass laws to force Vincent to live the way that I live, right? We should have different views, but, like, the conversations around what is socially acceptable and what is beneficial for people and how you ought to live, like, these are very important conversations. And, yeah, sometimes because we lack strong communities, these folks are the ones that kind of bring that stuff up. Why should we care about anybody that has a microphone? Why should anybody listening to us care? So I would just argue that things like this are a good opportunity to enforce what does our culture, what does our society actually care about, and what is okay or not okay. You know, you have free speech. You can say whatever you want, but it doesn't mean there aren't consequences for that, right? Like, people have the ability to freely associate with you or not. And I just want to give a big shout-out, by the way, this is my final thing, to Brian Nichols. Congratulations to Brian Nichols for his career surpassing Kanye West's, because Brian can get back on Tim Pool and Kanye can't. So congratulations.
He actually survived at the table longer, too.
Congratulations,
Brian Nichols.
All right. Good. Go ahead, Vincent.
My only thing about that is that, from my perspective, I don't feel like there's a conversation being had. It's point and laugh at the man being ridiculous.
Right.
Which kind of, it feels like there is, like, at least from what I've seen, but it's more of outside of this realm of this sit down, we have a political conversation. Yeah. Outside of this, what I see is not having a conversation. It's Kanye is ridiculous. Let's laugh and joke about how ridiculous he is on this Alex Jones thing, and all the stuff he's saying is so outrageous and ridiculous, and we're going to laugh at him because he's putting a net on his head and carrying a bottle of Yahoo and making it a big joke. But that conversation doesn't happen where it's everybody's like, he's ridiculous. What he's saying is stupid. Everybody knows this is stupid. Why, like, and we're just going to point and laugh, and there's not an actual conversation, at least what I've seen outside of this.
I think it's important to push back on this because there are a lot of people who are using this as a chance to make score points and win one for their team and do everything they want to do there. But the fact that it's being that all that stuff's happening is causing other people to have conversations about it. They may not be having it live on the CNNs or the Foxes or whatever, but people are talking about it in their families. People are talking about it like what we're doing right here. The conversations are being had. It's just that those conversations don't lend themselves really well to the Twitterverse or Facebook. You can't really have conversations on those places. But passing that news around on those social media places prompts those conversations to be had elsewhere. So that's where it's important, I think, that we – I mean, it is also very interesting to me that the same people who were telling Kaepernick, why don't you just shut up talking about politics and stick to sports, aren't saying the same thing to Kanye, right? It's those, the same people, hypocrisy unbound, because they kind of like what Kanye's doing, right? He's tweaking the right people to them. So.
Old woke Reinhold over here. I got to invoke Kaepernick. Can't get out of living without it, right?
Well, he has a lot of Kaepernick rookie cards.
I got to pump him up. I got the value up so I can retire, so I can pay off my student loans since they're not getting forgiven.
Up, then he no-showed that tryout, and they just all went down again.
Yeah, that's right. He failed. Good point.
Good sports.
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah, that thing you said.
Yeah, I like that. That's
touch goal or whatever that is.
Fuck that guy.
That's a Star Court correspondence.
All right, thanks so much for joining us here on this episode of We Are Libertarians. We really appreciate it. You can subscribe to the We Are Libertarians podcast feed if you just want to listen to this style of podcast. Ask you, if you're listening to that feed, go over and subscribe to the Chris Spangle Show and all the other shows on the We Are Libertarians podcast network. Specifically, the Boss Hog of Liberty, the Brian Nichols Show, Gingerarchy, I think Upward. Yeah, Upward. All right, thanks.
Upward. Liberty Ball. Liberty Monday at 9 o'clock.
Oh, forgetting. Enemy of my enemy. All right, thanks so much for joining us
right here.
What?
We're right here.
What show do you do?
We do low key.
All right, thanks so much for joining us here on the program. We really do appreciate it. We will see you again soon.